Welcome to Hometown Alaska. I'm Charles Woolforth. You know, we kind of have struggled over the years to have a music scene in Anchorage, but it slowly bloomed and blossomed. And we've got some bands that people follow and some bands that have success outside Alaska and even around the world. And there's a group of people behind that. It didn't all happen by magic. People who promote music, people who believe in it, people who believe in our local artists and want to see them thrive. And we've got some of those folks in our studio today who also happen to be some terrific musicians, and we're going to hear some of their music. They've got a big event coming up this weekend. Really excited to have today's show because I love having music in the studio and love having old friends. Michael Howard, thanks for being here, Michael.
Thanks for having me.
And Ingvil Vatngutu, who's such a talented musician with so many different things that she does, many different organizations she's part of. Thanks for being here, Ingvil.
Thanks for having me.
And in the second half, Kevin Worrell is headed our way, who folks know from Super Saturated Sugar Strings and Parlor in the Round. And so we're going to cover like this big, all this stuff that's happening. And as we were getting ready for the show, I was just writing notes and notes and notes about all the organizations you guys are part of and all the stuff you're doing. But one of the things that I think is really cool that's happened is this idea of exporting Alaska music and actually setting up a room at a music fest where Alaskans went down and performed. Tell us, you were there, right, Michael?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
So starting, it was earlier this year, the first year we hosted the Alaska Room, as it's called, at the Folk Alliance International Conference, which happens every year, and it is held around the world on different time frames, and it's been in Kansas City the last few years. So in February, we took down just about a dozen Alaskans, and we hosted the showcase room, and we showcased all the Alaskan musicians and several of our friends and folks that have lived in and out of state, like Nellie Clay and Anna Lynch, and we just had a great time, and we got turned a lot of heads at the conference, and really we're able to sort of build a relationship with the Folk Alliance organization through that, and it was just a blast, and it was really amazing for all the musicians there. And we are already making tracks to go back next February with twice as many people. So
tell me why that exposure is important. I mean, obviously, there's no music industry as such here in Alaska. Is it sort of getting in touch with people in the music business? Is that why it matters?
Sure, it matters for a lot of reasons. You know, there are several aspects to what you would call the music industry. You know, there are certain amazing things that we have going for us here in Alaska, and then there are certain things that we don't have going for us, such as our geographic isolation and touring markets and the way the music business is evolving. Going to these conferences, you know, there was at the Folk Alliance, there's like 3,000 people from all over the globe, and you have all just an array of industry professionals and the networking and exposure and just, you know, learning about what's going on in this rapidly evolving music business has just been very, very rich for all the Alaskans that went down there.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you go down, Ingvil?
Yeah, I did.
What was it like for you?
Oh, it was brand new because Michael was the one who sort of got us all down there in a sense and knew about it and had been there before. And there's a number of artists in Anchorage and Alaska at large who, over the years, because it's the 30th anniversary of the conference this coming year, so there's a lot of established artists in Alaska who've already been affiliated with that. So, but I wasn't really aware of it, and I wasn't aware of the size and my ability to stay awake for four nights in a row till 5 a.m. and then get going again at 8. You know, it was great in many different ways, and I realized that one thing that we need to go there regularly. We need to go to other conferences. And looking at how our sort of colleague rooms, because the thing about this is there's a lot of independent showcases during the night hours that sort of complement the larger showcases during the day. And there's very level of support behind all these different showcases. And we'll probably get to this later, but I just wanted to kind of maybe jump the gun and say one thing I realized was we really, really need to find a way of supporting Alaska music as a, you can call it a brand, you can call it a thing, you can call it, you know, it's just very important. You see other countries, other groups, other states have official support or foundation support or community support or all a combination of all three in a very organized way.
Yeah, yeah.
And I realized, well, we that's something that Alaskan musicians may not know that they've been missing.
Yeah, but you're kind
so
of creating
I discovered
it.
That. Yeah, yeah, you're kind of creating it. That was kind of the big eye-opener that, oh, yeah, we have a lot of catching up to do.
Yeah, exactly. It's Hometown Alaska, and we're talking about local music and exporting it to the world and some really exciting events that are coming up. If you would like to get involved in our conversation, the number here is 550-8433, 550-8433. Outside Anchorage, there's a toll-free number, 888-353-5752. And the email address is hometown@alaskapublic.org. And my guests are Ingvil from the Northern Culture Exchange, the Spinard Jazz Fest, the Lullaby Project, all these other things, and also Michael Howard, and they're both partners in founding the Alaska Independent Musicians Initiative, AKIMI. And that brings us to the big event that you're doing just on Saturday, right? Mm-hmm. Who wants to take that
it's
one and tell us what it is?
Oh, okay.
So yeah. This is a concert, essentially, yes. Or even a festival, you call
it. It's a conference and a concert. It started out with us wanting to do two different things this month. We wanted a fundraiser that could send us off to this February conference in Kansas City with both money in our pockets, but also community support. We kind of want to come from somewhere, so we need mm-hmm. to tell people what we're doing. And these fundraisers can be fundraisers as well as fundraisers. So
you get to go to a show, and then you know you're also supporting the musicians
exactly.
to go outside and
yeah.
do this cool
and
conference.
And when they
right.
come back, then we can tell how that went and so on. So that's kind of the idea, that having this constant community building. And then the other thing we wanted to do was to gather musicians. And when Michael and I started AKIMI about a year and two, 3 months ago, just a little over a year ago, actually, a lot of things have happened, so it felt like 10 years ago, but it was just about a year ago.
Yeah.
And we both wanted to have this kind of gathering of musicians, or some kind of conference, some kind of informal but packed
this
with
is
programming.
About creating this community and
yeah.
creating this
yeah.
supportive
and it's a professional
group, right?
community. Mm-hmm. It's not a community that's kind of lost or hanging in the air. It's a community with a lot of them, but we just wanted to gather different people. So we created a really, I think, amazing one-day program. So starting at noon, going till 6, and then we have the concert in the evening. We ended up cramming it all into one day because there's only so many days before Christmas. So
the evening concert is something that the public might kind of
yeah,
come and just listen. So who are some of the artists playing?
There's a band called Supersaturated Sugar Strings. There's
yeah.
a kind of small little upcoming
yeah.
outfit. That's
the funnest group to watch in town, absolutely.
And they're just back from a very successful tour.
Uh-huh.
And so they're kind of heading it. Matt Hopper.
The legendary yeah. Matt Hopper.
Yeah.
I just
and
made up that title.
Formerly of the Roman Candles. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and still sometimes, yeah. Uh-huh. yeah.
And then there's a couple of artists that you brought in that you know more about than me.
Who else do we have? Emily Anderson will be down from Fairbanks. We have a couple folks from Fairbanks and Juneau. Uh-huh. Some of our sort of active working musician partners will
cool.
be there.
Yeah.
Harper's Farce will
Harper's
be on the bill.
Farce,
don't
right.
want to forget them for sure.
No. And then we're also showcasing three of really underrated, but under-known singers from the Lullaby Project that I just
oh,
worked
cool.
on. So we've got three different women lead singers with the Lullaby band.
And we're going to have a track. We're going to play a track from that in a
mm-hmm.
little while.
Yeah.
So just to clarify, so that's a Saturday for the general public who wants to come here. Music show up at 6, right?
7.
Seven.
Yeah,
doors are going to be
at 7.
We'll be doing a room turnover there
uh-huh.
in
yeah.
the Church of
yeah.
Love.
And then during the day, it's going to be a conference for musicians.
Correct, yeah. And so there's sort of...
We miss the Church of Love there on Spinard Road.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. And I just want to say there's sort of two things that we are aiming to accomplish here at this conference concert, which is there's a lot of things that we see here on the ground in Alaska that we want to organize and connect among musicians, communities, among institutions, potential supporters. So we want to get people rallied around this this vision that we have for developing a music industry in Alaska. And then the second piece is sort of helping professionalize and export Alaskan music. So
mm-hmm.
we have a lot of locals that are involved, a lot of wonderful presenters that will be there, a lot of community leaders, and then we have a couple folks coming up from out of state. So there's sort of this simultaneously developing on the ground here and getting us ready to export.
Uh-huh.
And we're using that word a lot. That's, you know, this is what we're seeing places like Canada, Sweden, Norway,
Iceland.
Not
Tulsa,
a new
Oklahoma.
Idea. Yeah,
yeah,
it's just a new idea here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as a musician, You guys are really busy playing. I know, Michael, you've just been touring all over the country back pretty freshly, and Ingvold's just gotten back in the country today. I just got back today. We all just got back.
We're exporting ourselves. Yeah,
you're exporting yourself. You're already a busy guy, yeah. And this is like, it seems like it's something you're doing for other people.
It is. Well, it's, you know, when Ingvild and I started talking over a year ago, you know, she was like, why are you interested, you know, in working with me? And, you know, I was born and raised in Anchorage. I grew up here putting on shows in rec centers and, you know, going to Matt Hopper's shows. And over the decades, I have watched just some amazing musicians come out of Alaska. And I've also watched the sort of missing links along the way. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to sort of solve that and look towards a sort of a different future.
Yeah, yeah. So, do you want to do a song? I'd love to have you do one. While you're getting ready, I just want to throw a question at Ingvild. Do you feel like at the beginning, I said, hey, we've got a music scene in Anchorage, which has kind of slowly developed a little bit. In the years you've been here, have you seen that truly happening?
Yeah, I feel I have. You know, when I came here, the first thing that struck me, because I came with a circus, as you could call it, mm-hmm. with a theater show, and I was at the PAC and performing there, and then kind of in the evenings after we did our shows, we would go out to different clubs and jam and whatever. And in the big space at the Discovery, I felt that, God, this place has one of the best communities I've ever performed to, like Ireland. Galway Bay and Anchorage were the two best in 13 years of kind of big venue touring, definitely the two. So I didn't move to Ireland, but I moved to Anchorage. Yeah. And then...
Because the audiences here are warm and supportive.
Yeah, and then I realized that there was like no end to how many musicians I would meet. It was just, and I couldn't always tell how, you know, that's a hard thing, you don't know. They couldn't tell and I couldn't tell how good they were or how successful they were or whatever, because we didn't really have a measure of it. There isn't this steady market up here.
Yeah.
And so two things have happened. I think there's a higher number of people who really take their art seriously as performers or as actual practitioners. So I think the level of musicianship is kind of just steadily consolidating. And then the other part, which goes hand in hand with that, is to have some goals, be realistic, to start thinking about, oh yeah, how can we do this? And of course, the internet has made it possible to reach a number of people without exporting yourself physically.
Right. We'd like to some of the
with distance education and everything like that. Mm-hmm. Alaska has sort of been a pioneer. So we're not disabled at all when it comes to spreading the word. Mm-hmm. And that's, for example, why we have CD Baby coming up through this. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if you know CD Baby, but it's like the biggest music digital distribution company in the world, and they're coming up here on Saturday to talk to Alaska musicians.
At the conference.
Yes.
Cool.
Courtesy of Michael Howard.
Yeah, and for those who are just tuning in, we're talking about the Alaska Independent Music Initiative with Ingvild and with Michael Howard, and their conference is coming up Saturday, noon to 11 p.m., with music from 7 to 11, and quite a rundown of performers. And Michael kind of didn't want to perform today because he's got a little bit of a cold, but I finally prevailed upon him to do it because I love his music.
Just a little tickle that's right in the...
No, I pulled out. I'm just jet-lagged.
So what are you going to play, Michael?
But we're professionals here, so we got it. The show must go on. Well, it's sort of... It's great to be back in the studio, and so it's sort of the... I think it's the tradition now that each time we're on air... I have to play the extra tough song.
Yeah, people love this song.
Because I don't get to play that everywhere else that I go. And so that's the little Alaska ballad here. Well, I saw her walking down the street. That girl, she was pretty as could be. A short denim skirt and wavy hair. My eyes just could not help but stare. It was 72 degrees, not a cloud in sight. But there's her feet, wrapped up so warm and waterproof. She caught me with my mouth hanging open wide. Well, don't you know you gotta love that double-dipped brown neoprene? Dressed for business from the waist up, the only skin she's showing is her knees. It's a true story, Charles. Well, it didn't make much sense at first. Was she all dressed up and
headed to work downtown, making coffee in the art gallery. I wonder if she fishes commercially. Well, I don't care what she does, just keep on doing what you're doing to me. Cause I'm so sure that I'm in love with that two-tone brown boot magic on your feet. Here we go. Well, don't you know you gotta love that double-dipped brown neoprene? Dressed for business from the waist up, the only skin she's showing is her knees. And when I look down at her feet, oh, I know she must be wild and rough. I can't get enough of that girl in extra tufts. Well, she's rambling round Alaska, from Kalifornsky to Ketchikan, from Bristol Bay to Barrow. Woo, you'll try to catch her if you can. But she'll steal your heart in Juneau, Sitka, Seward, and Homer too. Or maybe drinking downtown at Darwin's. Rubber boots, why don't you walk me home with you? So as I mentioned, Charles, this is a true story. And when I was writing this song a few years ago, something awful tragic happened right in the middle, like literally, of the song. And it was not going to work out, so I had to divert course a little bit to tell the rest of the story. So here's what happens next. So I went down to Costco in Anchorage, cause I heard they were on sale. And I hoped that maybe she might like me. So I went and I bought myself a pair of those fancy, shiny, two-tone brown rubber boots. But she saw me standing there in my pair of brand new boots. And she looked down at my feet and she looked real close at them. And she said, oh, Michael, she said, your boots were made in China. They'll only fall apart. And sure enough, she left me standing there in my pair of busted rubbers, two wet feet, and a broken heart. But hey, don't you know you gotta love that double-dipped brown neoprene? Dressed for business from the waist up, the only skin she's showing is her knees. And when I look down at her feet, oh, I know she must be wild and rough. I can't get enough of that brown boot, loving short skirt, tall boots. And my heart starts thumping, we'll dance all night. And we'll go puddle jumping, cause I can't get enough of that girl in extra tufts.
Love this song. Love the song. It had such a sad ending. I forgot it was so sad.
Oh, I know. Yeah. The disaster.
Kind of heartbroken.
Tragedy.
Yeah. So, so Michael, like your touring life is traveling from town to town around the country and getting back to Anchorage occasionally? I mean, what's your schedule and your travel like?
I wish someone would tell me. It's been very busy.
That's good, though.
Yeah, pretty much the last 2 to 3 years, I've been touring all over the U.S. I used to live in Portland, Oregon, and so for a while I sort of called that my second base, but I've been in Portland just a few days this year. I've been in Anchorage a month or two here and there, and I've been busy all around New England and all the way in Austin in the Midwest. And I have a wide net as of the last couple years, and I think I'm just now sort of entering where I have a few little markets where things...
People know who you are until they come out.
Yeah, and things sort of work out better for me, and so I'm sort of starting to return to some of my favorite spots. And I was over in Europe for 6 weeks this year, and
wow,
that was great.
Seems like it'd be hard to be a community organizer if you're traveling around all the time, but is it maybe just because you can be online and do it?
Yeah, some of it is the magic of the internet. I mean, it's funny how often Ingvild's in Norway and I'm in, Texas or South Dakota. Mm-hmm. And we're, what we've done and been able to organize with the Musicians Initiative so far, a lot of it has just been working from wherever we're at and working on the ground when we're in Alaska. And I did just want to add in that, a lot of the people are asking, what is Akimi? That's mm-hmm. the Musicians Initiative. And it's a group of people just like myself and Ingvild, and we have Kevin Worrell, who's done amazing work with the Parlor in the Round, mm-hmm. Laura Odin with the Music Co-op, mm-hmm. Our friend Annie Bartholomew in Juno. So we're all extremely busy, several of us full-time musicians, and it's something that we're passionate about, and we have just put in hundreds and hundreds of hours over the last year or so. And
making this thing happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that we care about. May have some benefit to our own careers, but it is for the community, and we see a different future that we're trying to work towards.
Super exciting.
Yeah.
So I mean, Ingvild, you're involved in this, and you're also involved in like everything else that's going on. And I would have to say that for those who don't know Ingvild, she's created some of the most amazing music I've heard in Anchorage. Really, really cool stuff in so many different genres. And including the Spinard Jazz Fest, which was kind of your baby and got started in the Northern Culture Exchange, which has sort of been the parent organization for a lot of other different things, mm-hmm. and the Lullaby Project. Tell us what that is.
Well, the Lullaby Project is not my baby, but I've been sort of foster mothering the musicians over the past. It's Shirley May Springer-Staten who is taking on and revitalizing and renewing in many different ways a project that started at the Carnegie Hall, the Carnegie Weill Foundation in New York. It started a project to use music as a means of connecting mothers under some kind of duress or stress with their children. And typically as mothers in homeless situations, abuse situations, halfway homes, a protected home, things like that. In our case, as many of you, the listeners, will know, we are working with mothers at the Highland Correctional Center. Mm-hmm. And last year was our first year. We just did a second year project. And it's an amazing, meaningful project for everybody involved. There's 14 mothers who are in Highland and 14 singer-songwriters who are on the outside. For some people due to luck and others due to, I don't know, whatever. And we're collaborating on writing a song each for the mothers to give to their child or children. It's the Lullaby Project, but a lot of these songs are actually for teenage kids and some grandkids even. And so some are lullabies and kind of cooey and comforting, and others are more jokey and quirky and so on. But it's an amazing chance to connect with people that are part of our community that we've sort of lost. And mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing about it is an incredibly empowering thing, which is seeing the way Shirley is using alumni mothers who are then released, who are then you're part of the project. One of them is going to perform on Saturday, and sort of sharing that whole process with the community. Mm. And we're also going to do a short presentation of the project. But it's an amazing project, and the music's good. I mean, I'm really proud of the album.
We're going to hear a cut in just a minute. Yeah. So, I mean, it seems like for a songwriter, or for any artist, mm-hmm. when you got something to sink your teeth into, that's rewarding. And so, in a sense, working with these women who really have had a really, really hard time.
They
in
have
life.
Material. Yeah, and they have really layered
not
material.
Just, not just about having a fight with your boyfriend. It's like
No, definitely. And it's also women who've worked really on themselves. To me, I think music is most meaningful if it's sort of maybe at the tail end of a hard process rather than the middle. Mm-hmm. All the Life Is So Hard in My Bedroom songs are good, but if you've figured out some way of solving your problem, then you can more easily take your audience through the whole process and be a little ahead of them, mm-hmm. you know, which is kind of the role of an artist, I think.
I found that a lot in working with people in prison is that they've been through this process of rehabilitation and recovery, which in a lot of times gives them a lot more moral clarity than we have in our everyday life. I
mean,
they have to learn what's right and wrong. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we had a song queued up called My Home. Do you want to intro this one?
Yeah. This is a song that was the new thing that Shirley May added to the project this year was to have some of the children of the mothers write a song back to the mother. This particular one, I can't remember if it's children at talented children at a school or a specific child to a mother, but it's basically a child singing back to the mother how she feels about her. And it features a young teenage girl who I'm not sure if I'm supposed to mention, and also Shirley May is in there as a choir, and as is Corinthia Rabb, who I think is a fantastic vocalist in Anchorage who has a voice that people should listen to a lot more. So
great.
And I'm playing guitar on it, and I'm happy in the background.
Okay, let's hear My Home from the Lullaby Project.
I am happy when I'm at home playing games with my brothers and my sisters. I love my whole family. I love my whole family. We are together. We are together. We are together. I am sad when I'm alone. You're not here. miss you so. I want you bad. You are my love. I need your hugs. You are my home. I am happy when I'm at home. Playing games with my brothers and my sisters. I love my whole family. I love my whole family.
I love my whole family.
Oh, that was really beautiful. So that was a song that was written by a child for her imprisoned mother. Yeah, from the Lullaby Project. And my guest, Ingvild Vatngutu, who is part of the Lullaby Project and a part of AKIMI, the Alaska Independent Musicians Initiative, which is putting on this show on Saturday and the conference on Saturday at the Church of Love on Spinard Road. And Michael Howard is also with me in the studio. And we welcome your calls and emails if you want to get on the air with my guests. The phone number here is 550-8433. Outside Anchorage, it's 888-353-5752. And the email is hometownatalaskapublic.org. And now let's go to Paul from Anchorage, who had a question or a comment. Paul?
Hi. Now, I just wanted to give kudos to Michael Howard, you know, for his commitment to community engagement and as he pursues his music career. And it's really, you know, I don't know if you remember me from Fairview, but, you know, you're an inspiration then and you're an inspiration now. And, you know, as you guys are talking, it kind of gives me ideas for ways that, you know, as Fairview moves down the path towards trying to revitalize the neighborhood, gives me ideas about how, you know, that effort can mesh with the effort to make the music industry in Anchorage more vital. I mean, it seems like low-income and culturally diverse communities are sources for creativity and vitality that would be, you know, well-served to be harnessed, you know, in that effort. I don't know if I'm...
No, that's a really good point, Paul.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul.
Yeah. And what Paul's saying is true in a lot of ways, but part of it is, having a great music scene and art and stuff that's going on, being a community vital is a huge part of the quality of life that actually builds the economy for everybody else. So although the musicians may be hand to mouth and maybe like not getting rich in any way, they could really be carrying the community along in other ways. And that's kind of what Paul's talking about, I think.
Sure. Yeah. And I thank you so much, Paul, for calling in. Paul and I worked together for several years, volunteered together on the Fairview Community Council. And I appreciate his perspective, certainly. And the AKIMI organization here, we believe that strong arts and culture equals strong community, tourism, economic development, and we are adamant about making that link. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the city of Anchorage, Alaska, our diversity, our multiculturalism, these are sort of parts of the ethos of what we are as an organization. And just like Paul said, we think all those things link up
And also just personal fulfillment for human beings who want to express themselves artistically and develop. And it's, you need support to do that. You need somebody to help you learn how to do it.
Right.
Yeah. Cool. Well, we're going to be back after a short break. We're going to add another guest, Kevin Worrell from the Super Saturated Sugar Strings. I'm going to throw out those phone numbers for you if you want to talk to our guests. And remind you that we're also talking about this Alaska Music Summit that's happening on Saturday. And it sounds like a great lineup of music Saturday night. You can find the website or the link for that event on our webpage at alaskapublic.org. Just click on today's show, Hometown Alaska, and go down to the link. And I think you can get tickets and information through that. So please stick with us. It's Hometown Alaska. We'll be back in 60 seconds.
Thank you. You're listening to Hometown Alaska from Alaska Public Media. The program repeats tonight at 8 p.m. on KSKA Anchorage and will not be taking phone calls. You can find Hometown Alaska on iTunes or listen at alaskapublic.org.
All right, it's Hometown Alaska. I'm Charles Wolforth. We are talking music today with folks who are running the Alaska Independent Musicians Initiative, putting on a music summit on Saturday, exporting music to a national venue where there's a room, showcase room set up for Alaska musicians. It happened this last year and will be happening again this coming year. And that's what the concert and conference, the summit on Saturday is all about, is raising money for that. And in the first half, we had Ingvil Fattengutu and Michael Howard. They're still here, but they're going to listen for a few minutes because I'm going to be talking to Kevin Worrell, who has also been involved for a long time in creating the music scene in Anchorage and is a member of the Super Saturated Sugar Strings and doing a lot of other stuff. And I'm going to, thanks for being here, Kevin.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks.
You might want to get a little closer to that mic if you can. Awesome. And if you want to talk to any of the musicians here, please give us a call at 550-8433, 550-8433. Outside Anchorage, 888-353-5752, and emails hometown@alaskapublic.org. Kevin, I think the last time you were here, unless I'm not remembering correctly, or at least here with me, was when you were just starting the Parlor in the Round. And
yeah,
it was like this new idea of having multiple musicians on the stage interacting with each other, throwing songs back and forth, and sort of having some fun parlor games where the audience is throwing up ideas. And it kind of took off.
Yeah, we're on season four. I've had a chance to do it at festivals. I've had where I had the chance to do the national headlining acts.
Oh, wow.
As the guests.
That must be amazing.
It was incredible. We had Steve Poltz, who I met at Folk Alliance last year, which we talked about a little bit about earlier in the program, and you know, him and several others, and I got a chance to put him on stage with local Alaskan artists, and yeah, there's so many facets to it, and you know, it really started with the Anchorage Music Co-op. Laura Oden was getting together the In the Round format, show format, which is not a new idea, but the audience participation portion, the working directly with the club to make it a dinner theater, all those things sort of like were the added parts that have made it work out.
So, I mean, you went the first couple of times, it was pretty sparsely attended, but then I guess through word of mouth, it kind of built up.
I remember seeing you at one of the shows and we were both looking at each other going, like, man, this was really fun.
This is a great idea, but I guess it didn't work.
Yeah. Like are more than 30 people going to show up? And we sold out our first show of the season back this year and had great, we got another great show coming up on the 28th, right between Christmas and New Year's. I've got a couple of folks, Maeve and Quinn, who are a fantastic, pair of sort of neoclassical pop songwriters, and they'll be joined with another like kind of a guy off the street sort of, name is Kurt Hahn, and he's going to be bringing his song. So what I love about the show is that we can combine people at different walks in their musical career.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it'll be fun.
And then you get to be the MC and be a little bit goofy and definitely lovable up on stage.
we're shooting for that.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot of fun to take that role. So I started because I'm a songwriter and I needed a place to grow and I needed a challenging scene. And I didn't see exactly what I needed in the scene, so I threw in there. So it's interesting as a songwriter to be the host of the show. There's a lot of curation and I learn a lot and I grow a lot every time. It's such a gift to be the host.
I feel like this is a theme of the show today is that I think a lot of people think of musicians, certainly singer-songwriters, as being these solo, you know, deep souls who are like sitting in the bedroom, as Ingvil was saying, and coming up with, you know, pouring out their hearts. But in fact, it's much more about community and connection to other people. And that's how you grow as a musician, as an artist. It's not, can't just all be about you.
Absolutely. Yeah, I there are, you know, larger populations or greater population density in some places, and you'll see a scene develop and you're bumping into other musicians and you're hearing each other and you're hearing them sell, hearing the other people push themselves. Mm-hmm. And here there's just less density. And right. so we don't bump into each other as often. And, you know, I went to school in New York and was on that scene for a while. It's very intense and competitive. What I find is that the more often we can come together, you know, the more likely we are to inspire each other, to push each other. And that's why it's been great to be working with Michael and have a chance to work with Yngwie on different projects along the way, or as guests on the Spinard Jazz Fest, which is another way that musicians come together, see each other. And what I love about the Spinard Jazz Fest in particular is that it brings in this high-level talent from outside, so we get this infusion, which, mm-hmm. you know, in Alaska, we need a little bit of fresh blood every once in a while, right?
So. Yeah, absolutely. In all walks of life, yeah, we can get a little complacent. So you've also been touring, I guess, with the Super Saturated Sugar Strings. You play the bass with that band.
That's right.
And this is, I'm sure many Alaskans have heard this band. It's so fun to go out and hear and dance to the Sugar Strings. And you've kind of started to get a reputation outside as well.
Thank you for that. It's just as fun to play in the band, and I know because I was a fan of the band before I started. In fact, I may have become a liability on the dance floor, which is why they invited me off on the stage. But the tour was a delight, and we were so humbled. We had Alaskans show up at every single show, like a lot of them. Uh-huh. And that really struck me about what music means in this place, and how important they were as we go out to try to share the music, that how important our strong fan base is. And for those who weren't out there in place, there were a lot of people who came up and said, "Hey, our Alaskan friends sent us to see you." And that like we were just like,
cool?
Just so humbled by that. Uh-huh. It's amazing. Yeah.
What were your crowds outside like, similar to here? I mean, when you do a show at the Willowa, or you even did a first tap at the Beartooth, I mean, it was like a huge crowd. Like, people really came out.
Yeah.
Was it like that outside?
Well, we were fortunate. We were surprised several times playing some smaller venues in small towns. And a lot of that word of mouth came out, and mm-hmm. we ended up having some really nice full venues. We played the Great Pacific that Michael's probably played in Pendleton, Oregon, and had a really nice full audience there. And we played out at the Range Rider with Bart and Budwig, who, you know, Michael introduced me to Bart, and we had a really nice full crowd there. And it's amazing how the word of mouth travels. At the end of the tour, we got a chance to tag along with the California Honey Drops. So we had sold out shows in Bend, Oregon, and in Seattle at the Crocodile, which our very own Eric Hawk is involved in an ownership role in that club. So it felt really full circle to be playing a packed
up. That's pretty big time. That's pretty cool.
It was great. Yeah. So those crowds were big and energetic, and it was a lot of fun.
And every so often, Alaska artists like Jewel or like Portugal the Man like absolutely takes off and almost goes beyond our universe, but we get to look at them out there in the stars, you know?
For sure.
Yeah. So I would love to hear you play something.
Sure.
Kevin, you got a guitar there. I don't know how long, if you're warmed up, you just walked into the building. So.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I've been drinking coffee since before I took my kid to school this morning.
So what are you going to do for us?
So this is a song called Long Road, which is on the new record, All Their Many Miles. And this song I wrote with Kat Moore, who you know, everybody knows Kat.
The front person for the Sugar Strings.
That's right. Yeah. And she's now my sister-in-law. And
oh, really?
Yeah. Isn't that fun? Mm-hmm. I married her sister. Keeping it. It's convenient for touring. You know? But this is a version of the song. If I don't get nervous here in front of Michael and Yngwie now, if I can remember all the verses, but there's one verse that's not on the record that I'll play for you now.
All right.
All right. So this song is called Long Road. We wrote it on a trip to Valdez. And the rest is self-explanatory.
Right.
There's a road. There's a long road. It's a long black road back to your heart. I might as well make a start. It's a day, be a long day, be a long, cold day. Inhale before you're gonna let me in, before I see your smile again.
snow falls on our shoulders. We keep getting older every day. And in times as hard as these, your heart is what I need. Please stay. Oh, there's a snow. There's a spring snow. And there's a wet spring snow crashing down the mountainside. I got no way to ride. And there's a plow. There's a snow plow. And there's an old snow plow trying to make a pass. Ain't getting nowhere fast. The rain falls all around. Lonely in this town when every day. And agree or disagree, your heart is what I need. Please stay. And there's a light. There's a low light. And there's a red low light creeping across the valley floor. And that's you knocking at my door. Snow falls on our shoulder. We keep getting older every day. And in times as hard as these, we're almost to Valdez. In times as hard as these, please stay.
Beautiful song.
Thanks. Yeah. I usually, thanks, folks.
Kevin Worrell of the Super Saturated Sugar Strings, and this is a band song?
That's right, yeah. So I sang that song in a duet with Catmore.
Awesome.
And I got to add in the snow verse, which got cut from the record. So thank you for an opportunity to
I love it.
Put that in there.
And what's the
nice
record?
Verse.
Yeah, what's the record called?
The record's called All Their Many Miles, and we will have a release date very, very soon. Just working out a couple things. In fact, the Music Summit is part of our decision-making process. We're going to have a chance to touch base with Devin from Hearth Music again and get a little of advice on how we're going to release nationally, and then we're going to pull the trigger. So,
all right. It's Hometown Alaska. We are talking about Anchorage Music, and the Alaska Music Summit is coming up on Saturday at the Church of Love. You can find out more at Akimi Music or on our website at alaskapublic.org. Click on today's show, Hometown Alaska. Kevin Worrell, you're just hearing, and also in the studio with me are Ingvild Vatngutu and Michael Howard. And let's go to a call from Bill. Bill?
Hey, Charles, another good show. Anyway, I was going skiing the other day. I was in Girdwood. It's kind of warm, and there's a guy down there with his girlfriend playing a banjo, sitting outside in front of the gas station. And I gave him $5 because I had it, okay? But the thing is that Dan Hicks said on that record, "Where's the Money?" He says, you know, a lot of people sit here and they look at us playing and they think it's easy to do this. He goes, it isn't. And that's kind of poignant in the fact that if you see somebody playing music, you know, at least smile at them. You know what I'm saying? It's so hard to do. You know, because, and then, by the way, Dan Hicks, right before he died, he came up and played in Palmer. And he was playing at Vagabond. And a friend of mine was looking and he Dan caught him looking at him, and Dan opens his mouth real wide and goes, ah, you know. And Steve Goodman played up here right before he died, too. We're not off the map. We are on the map.
We get great artists up here. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we do. But that Steve Goodman show, White Keys had him up here. Mm. And I played with White Keys for a long time, and he brought up blues, you know, to the point there's a lot of, when Keys had his club, there was always a place to go.
Yeah, I was going to throw out to my guests about venues. You know, we had the White Keys Club and Fly By Night, and then it turned into the Taproot, and now then it turned into like something else, and now it's dark, and that seems like a loss. But now you've added the 49th Star, you know, Hall, which is really nice downtown at the old Elks Club, and so what's the story on venues? Kevin, are there enough places around town to play, or is that a problem?
That's a really interesting question, because enough, it's always a balance, right? There's three legs to it. There's the balance of people interested in the type of performance you're putting on, mm-hmm. and then the balance of performers to fill it regularly. So really it's it's a, I'm not trying to avoid your question, but so those things.
That is that why the Taproot didn't make it? Because not enough content?
That's a good question. You know,
I feel
like. Do you
guys have an opinion?
Well, it's hard to say exactly what's happening in Anchorage. Yeah, Michael, you don't get to say anything. I just over the past 15 years, because I'm guess kind of maybe the outsider still, but I've seen it go in waves. When I came here, there were two or three jazz clubs. Mm-hmm. I remember going to three jazz jams, excellent ones, in one night.
Yeah.
That's like a little bit more than a decade ago. And right now, we're struggling to get them, and the players are now kids, which is a good thing, kind of a new generation, but it's flailing. And then it's sort of a mixture of the venues and the musicians to get along. And then there's the issue, I think, with a lot of these venues and come and go, even if they have a really strong, hearty sort of go at it, like the Taproot, it has to do with the audiences. What are they there for? You know, are they there to see their friends? Are they there to drink? Big question. Mm-hmm. Are they there to do both? And can they listen and drink and see their friends? And can they be a sort of, and can we create that?
That was always a problem in that room. That
and Kevin, Kevin's kind of audience training or educational efforts with the parlor and other things like that are really important. The whole idea is the community. If we can be on the same page, the musicians, like you say, if the audience can smile at us and we can smile at them, and if the funders, who I really wanted to mention also for us, we're building some great connections to the funders that there are in this state, and these are all, we're all the same people, and we meet each other, we see each other. There's a short, very much easier access between the guy who plays the guitar and the money or whatever. So the community part of this is vital.
Yeah.
How that works, nuts and bolts, for one venue to pop up and pop out and whatever, I can't say. Yeah. But we do, of course, always want more venues, but then people have to go to them.
There has to be, I mean, like as you say, it has to be a venue where you enjoy hearing the kind of music you want to hear because people aren't talking and making it possible. And then, Michael, I'll just throw this out to you. As a music consumer, I love going out to live music. And the thing I liked about Taproot was at least I knew that I could say, hey, what's happening at Taproot? You know, because it serves figuring out, this is the night I can go out. What's happening? Mm-hmm. That's kind of a shortcoming, at least for me, to know, look around and say, what's happening that I would go to? What are my choices? And that's something that, you know, as a community, maybe we haven't really built up that much. I don't know. What do you think about that?
What I wanted to add in there is, I think, you know, Ingvild and Kevin have mostly covered it, but I wanted to just add that one of our sort of the needs assessments that, you know, Akimi came up with as we were forming, so what I want is to weigh in there is this culture of, we need to develop a culture of treating music as art. Mm-hmm. And so it's, you know, venues sort of, there's an ebb and flow, and, you know, the Taproot closing was definitely sort of a hit, you know, but things will reorganize and they'll reshape, and, you know, musicians, oftentimes we're the drivers of this. We're building our own audiences and creating our own venues, and we're all very, you know, we all put a lot of blood and sweat into that over the years. But what we're looking at, and the way that I, again, want to answer that is say, we are working to nurture this culture of presenting music as art. So that means venues, it means certain institutions around town, and we all just sort of have to get on board with that vision, and that will involve, you know, training audiences and building that culture. So,
yeah, cool. Yeah. Let's take a call from Mark, who's calling from Anchorage. Mark?
Yeah, so listening to you guys talk, one thing that stands out is, you know, marketing is a huge part of what you're doing, and when I think about that, you know, one of the things that's important is to have something that makes you stand out. And one of the things I think we have here in Alaska is a lot of talented native musicians, and I was wondering what you guys are doing to incorporate that aspect and promote that as well.
Do you want to take that one, Michael, or Ingvild?
Yeah, either of us. You can start with.
Sure, I can start. That's again, you know, I'm sort of talking about one of the culture and sort of the ethos of what Akimi's doing, and along with the venue issue we're talking about, one of the other things we recognize that Alaska is extremely diverse and extremely multicultural, and we don't in any way want to say that those of us here talking today represent you know, the whole music scene, and in short, I mean, we would love to have more involvement from everybody on all sides of the spectrum, and it'll just kind of take some making some more connections as we move ahead and at the Alaska Room and other projects.
Yeah.
Yeah, and one thing, I don't know if there's, I try to say this so that it comes out right. I do feel that the identity of Alaska music obviously is going to be kind of hard to explain in one on one CD, at one concert,
yeah,
in
pretty,
one program.
Diverse, yeah.
It is incredibly diverse. Now, Mark was asking specifically about Alaska Native music. And I mean, we are at least being visited upon by one of the lead singers in Bamuwa for this conference.
Okay.
He's not going to perform in the evening, but he's talking about what Bamuwa has done to bring their particular fusion brand of Alaska music out across the globe, which is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of pioneering that. And then behind them, we don't either see, you know, it's, I think there's that community is kind of suffering the same thing as other communities to the extent that we are different communities, that there's no continuance. It's like there's a lot of push, a lot of work for one band, one group, and then there, if nobody else is that excited or motivated and has that much stamina, then there's going to be nothing. That's for venues, that for Alaska Native, for Caucasian or African-American musician, it's the same. So the community and the professional environment needs to percolate, you know, across the board.
Yeah, and small ecosystem, and you wonder if there's room for two Pamuas. I mean, they're so amazing, they're so great. They do something really cool and something necessary, which is taking traditional music and modernizing it. Is there, you know, I'd hope there'd be room for more followers, but I'm not aware of anyone.
No, and then
I guess Byron Nicolai kind of does that.
Sure. And then there is, you know, granted, like Michael just said, there's a lot of other cultures that people have been here, for, at least for their lifetime and their grandparents. Like, they feel like they belong in Alaska as well. There's islander culture. There's a lot of different ones.
Mm-hmm.
We are representing quite a few of those at the concert this Saturday.
That's great. But as a listener, I mean, you don't necessarily, you want, I enjoy music from many, many cultures.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily enjoy them all at the same time,
mm-hmm.
right? If I go to a blues show, I want to listen to blues, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's also that issue.
Yeah, because world music is one thing, which is a lot of things. But it's that if you want that diversity, boom. But I also don't know that there's that much clarity between the genres anymore.
That's true.
You have everyone. I just watched this awesome program about blues guitarists, and half of them were, Native American guitarists in the 70s and 80s who were rocking out. Nobody knew that they were Native Americans because they were sort of in a closet about that, which I felt they had to be back then.
Mark, what do you think of that? Is that answer your question?
Yeah. That's great.
All right.
Awesome. Thank you for the question, Mark.
Thank you.
I think Kevin wanted to throw something
out. Yeah, just so with the parlor and the round, one of the drives is to really reach out into the community. I wanted to grab veterans who are maybe not performing so much anymore. I wanted to grab new up and comers.
Yeah, and for listeners who don't know, the parlor and the round involves three musicians on stage at once. So it's kind of an ideal to do.
That's right. Once a month, I reach out. And my plan was, as the show became more solidified, to reach out further. And I'm really excited. I'm pretty sure it's okay to announce at this point, but then I'll be presenting as a lecturer with APU in late February, and we are and I'm co-producing that event, and we are in particular seeking out a Native Alaskan artist and also a hip hop artist. So, which is something I've always wanted to do, is to reach out specifically to try to grab these. And so
you could have some really interesting mixing happening there.
It's going to be a challenge, and it's going to be great. And we're going to grow, and we're going to learn stuff. And that's what's really neat about that show. But I think no matter what the intent, it just has to be intentional.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to happen on its own. If we want to see the light shone on something, we need to shine a light there.
Yeah.
And so whatever that is. So
cool. So here's a question that I know that as musicians you would love to get. The listener asks, where do I buy CDs of their music?
CDs?
That's what they're asking, yeah. I don't even have a way to play CDs anymore.
I don't think we have those in Alaska yet, do we?
So the Sugar Strings just received two pallets of vinyl. We're really excited to get that. We're trying to figure out how to get it back to Alaska. But if you got a truck and you're in the Seattle area, but soon at our shows, of course, we'll be performing at the Summit, and you can go to iTunes download the music
order,
as well.
Order them online or download. Yeah.
Amazon. I mean, all of us. This is like through CD Baby, the organization that's coming up here to give a talk as part of the kind of music industry segments on Saturday. Is that, by signing up with them or perhaps a similar, but I think they're the one, they put you across the globe. both with CD distributors, actual physical ones, but all the digital stuff. So if people want to buy a CD, they should come to the concert on Saturday. That would be the soonest. There's a, I just received a check from a store in Anchorage. Oh, God. Well, it's on, you know, we have them kind of for sale locally around, but I think most of us sell music through our websites or just directly through the big national download and CD outlets that there are online.
Well, and I've, a lot of us use Spotify, and I always don't know if I should feel guilty, like that you're not getting, you're getting some minute amount of money when I listen.
But 0.0001 cent per 10 plays.
That's a lot of zeros.
Yeah.
So that's not a way to support musicians, but it's such a great way to hear music. So that's frustrating.
Yeah.
There's a lot of talk on all sides of the spectrum, and a lot of different opinions about Spotify. And regardless of the opinions, it's there, and it's a huge part of how music is being consumed and distributed,
discovered,
right? And so there's a lot of different parts to the equation, and a lot of that some of it we will talk about on Saturday. CD Baby, we'll touch on that as a part of their presentation.
Obviously, I'm a music lover. I love hearing music, collecting music. When I go to a show and buy a CD, I'm just doing it as a contribution because I just put it on a shelf. I have no way to play it.
Yeah.
You know, so I think a lot of people are in the same spot.
And to keep that old laptop with that slot where you put it in and just keep it just so that you can, get your audio files.
George sends an email. Great Alaska Music Festival will be at the State Fairgrounds in Palmer Memorial Day weekend 2018.
Yeah.
So that's good news. And your event, the Alaska Music Summit, is coming up on Saturday. We've talked a lot about it. And I want to make sure I understand the first half is really for musicians to network and learn.
Musicians and other partners and friends in the community.
So that'll be sort of like noon to six. And there's a ticket price for the whole day, which is like $30 or something like that.
Only $30.
Steal.
Yeah. Right.
I can't believe the schedule of activities and presentations. I can't wait.
Yeah.
I'm really delighted. It's dynamic.
Yeah. And then for the rest of us who are non-musicians, it's an evening show, which is essentially a festival of some of the best performers in Alaska in a 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. lineup, including the Sugar Strings.
That's right.
All right. Well, it sounds great. And thank you guys for doing this. I think it's terrific you're doing this for our community.
Thank you for having us,
Charles. All right. So we heard from Kevin Worrell of the Super Saturated Sugar Strings. We heard from Michael Howard, a touring musician, also of the Alaska Independent Musicians Initiative, and Ingvil Vatngutu of the Northern Cultural Exchange and Akimi and the Spinard Jazz Fest and many, many other things. Thanks to all of them for being here. Next week, your host is going to be Kathleen McCoy on Hometown Alaska. Our producer is Dave Waldron. My name is Charles Wolforth. Thanks for listening.
Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Learn more about Hometown Alaska and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.